And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Berez.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I have reached out to my dear friend from West Virginia, my old hillbilly preacher buddy, Pastor Butch Paul, asked him to come back on and spend an hour with us. So, Pastor Butch, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
Well, thank you, sir. It's good to be with you. It really is. I think about you quite often. I still miss Tex being there, bless his heart. I mean, we go back several years, Tex and I. Now, you and I go back a few years now.
Yes, sir. And every time I chat with you, people tell me, they'll call me up, Butch, and they'll say, you know, I can tell you're having, I can hear you smiling over the radio.
Yeah, I reckon they understand you and I think a lot alike, and that's probably just scare them to death.
What, or scare the hell out of them.
One the other, exactly.
Let's wake them up and get them back on the narrow path, and that'd be just great. That'd be fine. You know, you don't mess with a couple redneck or hillbilly preachers. We'll get after you.
Well, you know, it's just we're facing a time now that we need, and I'm not bragging on me and you, because we know who we are. We're just who we are. We're nobodies without Christ. But we need a whole bunch of redneck preachers that aren't afraid to speak up and got backbones like a saw log. They don't back up from anybody.
Amen. That is a fact. You know, I've had the same conversation with Pastor Chuck Baldwin up in Montana.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Just so sad how, and you know, and Tex brought this up one day, we were chatting, and he said the fall of the pastorate was during the Vietnam War, because instead of going to fight in Vietnam, all these guys went to the seminary and got ordained, and they're the ones that started the land rush of the name it, claim it, the prosperity, anything they could do to make it. Wasn't a calling, it was a living.
And I understand that, I do.
And that's the problem.
They chose it as a profession, not a calling.
Exactly. You know, I know it was a calling for you, it was a calling for Tex, and I didn't know it was a calling for me, but, you know, the Lord put me at the ministry back in 99, and they still ain't fired me, Butch.
I understand. You know, do you remember the story about Briar Rabbit? You know, the fox, don't throw me in the briar patch, please.
Yeah.
Remember that old story?
Oh, well, yeah.
There are times I said to my father, Father in heaven, don't throw me in the briar patch. You know. Unfortunately, he's not as stupid as a fox. He understands us don't know him.
For sure. Now, today's program is going to be, Can America Repent Enough? And we've already started down that road to chat about it. But before we get into the nuts and bolts, Pastor Butch, I want you to give everybody your address, your web address, so that they can look you up and tune you in and just help support your ministry.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for doing that. Yeah, I'm Pastor Butch Paul. The last name is spelled P-A-U-G-H, P-A-U-G-H. Our website is easy, pastorbutch.com. I've been on the radio this March. I'll make 31 years if we can stay on that long. The way finances look now, it's not looking very promising, but we'll see. And our phone number, you can call the office. If you have any questions, you want to talk to me. I'm not always there, but Lisa, our answering lady, answers the phone for us during the week, will find me, and I will call you back. I'm not unreachable, believe me. And every Thursday, we make a point to be in the office from 9 to 4 Eastern. Take phone calls, answer questions, chat with people about anything you want to talk about. Maybe something spiritual, maybe something that they wouldn't ask questions about otherwise. We're here. We're not hidden from you. Anytime you want to call us, you can call a toll-free number. If you don't have long distance, you can call 800-777-4403. If you do have long distance, you can help save us some money if you call our toll number, which is 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. And we want to hear from you. Please know that. And I broadcast myself three nights a week. You can find all the ways you can listen by going to pastorbutch.com. to find information on what stations are on across country or on several AM/FM stations or on shortwave and different places on the internet and listen on the phone also if you like, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 3 nights a week. So check it out on PastorBush.com and feel free to contact me with any questions, comments. You can email me. My email address is simple, PastorButch@start, like you start a car, startmail.com. PastorButch@startmail.com can reach me, and I'll reply to emails, I promise. So, yeah, I'm not unreachable. If you want to talk to an old hillbilly, you give me a holler, and I'll be right there with you as quick as can be.
Amen. I love just shooting the breeze with you, brother. It's like old home week. You know, you've had me on your show a few times, and I've had you on mine, and I just, because there's so much wisdom, and the youth have no idea that they should be listening to the elders like we were brought up.
No, they have no idea. No idea.
It's a factor from the parenting. Parenting is a lost art.
It is.
And
it truly is. And this sounds like a harsh thing to say. That most parents there are no better off than the children growing up mentally or spiritually. They haven't grown up yet. They're really children have them children.
Yes, sir. I agree.
I know that sounds harsh, but it doesn't change the truth.
No, the facts are facts. And the fact that you go to any restaurant and everybody at the table, parents included, have their nose buried in a smartphone or a tablet or something.
No communication at all.
It's a lost art. There is no, you know, growing up, I know it probably was the same way with you, but mom made dinner. Dad came home from being, you know, in the Air Force working at the base, and we would eat dinner, and me and my brothers would sit at the dinner table with my parents.
Yes, we did. That was a demand from our family all my time as children growing up. We may be scattered during the day doing different things, but at supper time, we all sit down together.
And find out how everybody's day went.
Exactly. And share thoughts and just talk and chat and enjoy a good dinner. That's what we did. In the mornings before we scattered, we had a coffee table. God made me two before. It was a beautiful job. One, a nail in it, a screw in it, all done with wooden dials. And made me beautiful. It was a coffee table sitting in the table. That coffee table was our altar. Every morning, we pray around it. That went on all the time my boys were at home. Now, that's our family wasn't perfect, still not perfect, but they're all living good lives. They're married, two of them are married. They're good parents, and so I'm really thankful that we did that. But that's one thing is kind of a lost art anymore. There's very little communication between children and parents. Very little communication between anybody anymore. Unless you text it or look it up on Facebook, no one talks to them anymore. It's just sad.
It is so sad. And, you know, how are young people going to meet and date? They're just using apps? Are they texting while they're eating dinner? I mean, it's harsh to say that, but there's no structure.
It's true. It's very, very true. And there's no real community. If you can even talk on a phone, it's wonderful. It's better than texting back and forth. The real communications comes from personal contact and sitting down with somebody, if with a family or a close friend that lives by you. You know, it's good to sit down and talk to them eyeball to eyeball, so to speak, and share thoughts and bounce ideas off each other. That's what communications is. That's not texting back and forth, and it's that's just not the same. There's not the personal touch. It's like when you call a number for a doctor's office or some kind of other business. And you listen to a computer tell you punch this button, punch that button, and you have to pass a test just in order to talk somebody alive if you're lucky enough to get somebody that's alive. So communications are a lost art.
I just hear press 1 for English.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with somebody speaking Spanish. That's fine. I speak a little bit of Spanish myself, but I live in America. When I pick up the phone or I walk in the store, I want signs in English. If they're going to live here, that's fine, but you're going to speak English. If my way, you speak English, or you just have such a look stupid because I'm not going to teach you, I'm not going to speak to you in a different language.
You know, that's growing up, we had, okay, I was blessed. I grew up in a small town here in Texas. we had Mexicans, we had blacks, and we had whites, and we had a couple Asians. But, you know, everybody assimilated back then.
Yes.
The best part about America is the different cultures that have come together. And I'm not going to lie, I love good Italian food. I love good Mexican food. So I am grateful that our forefathers thought far enough ahead that we would be a melting pot. But people used to assimilate. So when the Poles came from Poland and the Irish came from Ireland and the Italians and Sicilians came from that part of the country and they came here, they made it a point to learn the language. Now, they kept their native language at home, so their children were bilingual, and that is great. But assimilation, what we've got now with this border sieve that Biden and Mayorkas have unleashed is total chaos. We've got schools that have 35 different languages being spoken because they're all coming across that border. It's not conducive to a somewhat united States.
Well, that's part of the plan, to cause division and then destroy the country. That is definitely part of the plan. That's what they want to do. They want to cause division. They want to cause a split between the peoples. When I grew up, and that's been a little while back, I realize that. But we grew up in communities of people that they're Panakoviches, and they were Hams, and of course there were Pauls, there were Heights, there were Doddles, different ones, different backgrounds, different people, different ancestry. But we all had a common core of morals. We didn't steal from each other. We didn't murder each other. There were common morals that we trusted. We didn't lock our doors at night. We didn't have to do that. That was a community that you didn't worry about your children about anything else because the parents of other families would correct your child just like they would their own. And the children knew that. And that they respected their elders. But that's changed in my lifetime. We now have blacks killing white on the streets and vice versa, and it's just the streets and cities there are not safe to walk in. Washington, D.C.'s crime rate has went up horrendously in the last couple of years. So, no, our nation is unraveling because people no longer communicate. Our morals no longer have the same basis. We have open homosexuality and perversion everywhere. The churches are partaking of it, and at best they're condoning it because they're keeping their mouth shut on it. That's part of the division. A nation without morals cannot stand. You know, the only thing that keeps a home together is a family that has the same basic belief system and they live by a moral code. That keeps the family together. Well, so much more a nation. If nations don't have a common moral code, they have nothing to build on. And now we have illegal immigration. It's been going on in this country long before Biden got there. Biden just opened the floodgates. That is intentional to divide this nation and destroy this nation's economy, and it's working very, very well. Our nation, I've never seen our nation so chaotic and so insane. The decisions they make in courts, the things, the laws they discuss in Congress, and the absolute perversion all around us in our state legislatures, and we have a devil statue in Iowa that a great man just beheaded a couple of days ago. We have one now in Michigan. It's going up everywhere. They're challenging Christians, and most Christians sit back, suck the thumb, wait for the rapture.
Yeah, they have been so misled that, oh, there's not going to be any tribulation. We're going to get caught up, and we're going to go home early.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, besides that, once you confess Christ, you can live like hell and go to heaven, too. Once saved, always saved.
Yes, sir. I had friends growing up that were Catholic, and I never understood, because they would go to church on Saturday, and they would confess their sins, and Sunday they'd take communion, and then come Monday, they were they were heathens the rest of the week.
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed. I've seen that when I was in the military. I could see that guys, they would insist on saying grace at the table and cuss like everything anywhere else. It's just sad. That's the way it is.
Yeah.
But that's it. Not just Catholics. That's a lot of Baptists that go to church and act pious in church. And get other places and it changes. I'm not just picking on Baptists, but all of them the same way. But it's just the situation today that we tolerate it. There's an old song, the McCamies. I don't know if you ever heard of McCamies or not. They're a gospel group that sung for years. Still do, not the original bunch, but still do. They put a song out back in the 80s, I think it was, entitled Getting Used to the Dark. Well, the Bible talks about people groping in the dark like it's daylight. They think they're walking the light, but then we gotten used to the dark, brother. What used to make my grandma blush, we don't even notice anymore.
No.
And that's sad, but that's true.
You know, you can blame a lot of things. The pastorate is one. Lack of morals at the home is another. But when they introduced the television, that was the greatest brainwashing tool ever invented.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And you look at TV now, especially, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of show you're watching. If it's a sitcom and they've got the laugh track playing, it's kids that run the household.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they usually have a couple queers on there. It's all funny, you know, fun to laugh at, you know. That's just, it took them a long time to get this condition. TV started off maybe somewhat with a moral standard, but like everything else, they eased it in on us a little bit at the time, so you wouldn't notice it. And now, if even watching the TV commercials, when you watch the news, you got two sodomites kissing because they buy each other watches at Target or somewhere. That's what we had today.
Yep. And you mentioned politicians. You know, you'll see every one of them on the campaign trail go, God bless America.
Well, yes.
How?
You can't.
I am in 100% agreement. I don't know how.
He can't, and he won't. I mean, you ask a question, is America redeemable? I want to read, this has been many years ago now, and people don't think I'm weird, but I have literature in the bathroom when I am in there. I like to read a chapter in a good book or whatever. Because, I mean, what else going to do for a little bit, right?
Right.
I may read something. And I had on my mind, Lord, this has been several years ago. Can America be redeemed? Can America be saved? And I wanted an answer. I really wanted to know, am I wasting my time? I mean, I realize we have to fight evil, and I'll fight evil till I die, but can America literally be changed? I looked at the scripture there. In 2 Kings 24, it said something there that really, really sensed it for me. That's back in the time when murdering unborn babies was still at the forefront big time. And it still is today, but not like it was then. Well, it should be, but it isn't. But it talks about Jeroboam's rebellion against Nebuchadnezzar. But in verse 4, it talks about Manasseh and what he did. It said, also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. Now, this is the part that caught my eye, which the Lord will not pardon.
Mm.
We have shed 100 million babies' blood in this country, at least 100 million. I know they say 75 or whatever, but it's much more than that. And we've shed that much innocent blood. God told them that he will not pardon the shedding of innocent blood. That, to me, answered the question. America tolerated the shedding of innocent blood, and I'll not pardon that sin. Now, that's just the way it is. And, you know, and he's also shown me some other things. I mean, we all talk about gun rights and Second Amendment and all that, and I'm all for that. As a matter of fact, to me, it's not a right, it's a duty. I'm commanded by Christ and Luke 22:36 to carry a sword. I'm a disciple. He said, you carry a sword. I mean, it's a sidearm. If you have to sell your coat, buy one, but you don't, you carry a sword. That's not a right, that's a duty. But the point of it is this. We said we have the Second Amendment and the Bill of Rights and the Constitution to keep and bear arms. That so-called right, we call it, was put there, according to the article itself in Article 2, to defend the free country and to defend innocent lives and to do what's right with it. We, the church, back this Second Amendment, we root for it, and I do back it, and I do pack, and I'm not afraid to say that, and I carry a gun where I go. Well, no, we should. But the point of it is, we didn't use that duty to protect innocent lives. And in Proverbs 24, verse 11 and 12, he said, whenever you say you're commanded to protect innocent life, And you tell me, I didn't know it or whatever. God, he said, the blood's on your hands. This is in Proverbs 24:11-12. He said, don't give me an excuse that you don't know or you couldn't do or whatever. The blood's on your hands. So we didn't use that duty of God, the Second Amendment right, to keep and bear arms to defend innocence. Why do we deserve to have that right?
Exactly.
I know that's harsh, but it is what it is. When the pastors behind the pulpits won't preach the gospel because they're afraid of offending somebody, why do we need the First Amendment? You see, these are things people understand. When we neglect our duty to God, we lose everything. You know, in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, we're told that if we put the kingdom of God first, he'll add all these things to us. But if we don't, he'll take them away. He's taking them away because we put everything first but him. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, sir.
And I know, Jerry, that's not popular. People don't like to hear that kind of stuff. But the blame for what's happening lies squarely behind the pulpits in America. We have pastors today, some of them are now sodomites and lesbians. We got pastors, though, the college have pastors, but they're dumb dogs. They don't bark. They have no backbone. They're afraid they'll lose their congregation. They'll lose their padded paycheck. Who knows what they're afraid of? But they're afraid to speak the truth. I don't have a regular church. I'm not invited to preach in a regular church. And they wouldn't touch me with a 10-foot pole. And I don't think I'm poison. Then I'm not going to play their games either, if you follow what I'm saying.
There's a couple gentlemen that I've met through the phone. I've never met in person, but I have talked to them for hours through my 20-plus years at the ministry. And they have told me, yeah, I got invited to preach on the fifth Sunday. And so I got up and I turned it loose and they never invited me back to the church. You know,
I know. I've been invited to preach at one Baptist church, and it's been many years ago. They were having homecoming. They invited me to preach, but they didn't invite me to stay and eat. I figured I ain't got to kiss him goodnight, so I went home.
Exactly. Marcia Jean will take care of you. She loves you.
I guarantee you. You can tell by looking at me, I ain't starved.
You know, Tex talked about he was invited to Florida to speak at a counselor's seminar, Christian counselors. And he said, I walked in, and the first thing out of my mouth was, you say you're counselors, but not one of you has a Bible in your hand. And you're a Christian counselor. You know, they told him that he could go home. He spoke for an hour and they told him, you're supposed to speak again tomorrow, but that's okay. The brothers have met and they've decided that they'll allow you to go home without having to speak tomorrow because they didn't want to hear it.
I understand that. I do. Believe me, I do.
You know, Sandra and I have bandied this back and forth at the ministry. If you tickle their ears,
That's the whole thing. There's more money in tickling ears.
A lot more. You know, we were lamenting the fact that neither one of us has a Learjet. How about you, Pastor Butch?
No, I mean, Duplantis has four planes. I haven't got one yet. Somebody cheat.
Kenneth Copeland's got an airport in his own house.
Oh, he's got homes all over the country. There's something not quite right here. But no, that's the way it is. I mean, you know, and I don't mind saying this. I said it on my program last night. I despise asking for help for our ministry, but our ministry is lowest financially that it's ever been this time of month and ever that I remember. And we're in desperate need to get money coming in. We're going to be going off the air. And God's will be done is all I can say. I don't think once it's off the air, but people don't support us. We have no choice. But nonetheless, I can't change the message. People have called me up. I've been on radio 31 years in March. People have called me up and listened to over 20 years. Well, you've been preaching the same thing all along. I said, yeah, the book doesn't change. Nothing's changed. What that book said 20 years ago still says today.
God's word's never wrong.
No, it isn't wrong. It never changes. Thou shalt not steal means thou shalt not steal. I don't care if you preach 20 years now. It'll still say thou shalt not steal. So this is not complicated. We made it complicated.
Man's doctrine has always perverted.
And compromising the word and trying to change it to fit our own desires.
Which is why the NIV is the number one selling Bible?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
That's so sad.
That is true.
That is so sad. And, you know, see, I'm smiling, Pastor Butch, because you're tickling my ears.
Well, I know you agree with what I'm saying because you live it like the book said, but Brother Jerry, we live in a nation of mass confusion. The Bible said there's one God and one Lord and one word, but somehow or another, we've got hundreds of denominations out of this one book. Well, there used to be one book. Now they got all kinds of different Bibles. They even have the Queen James Bibles now. So they have all kinds of Bibles. We call them Bibles. They're not the Word of God. The 1611 Bible is the Word of God, period. That's it. Bar none. Geneva Bible, I would say, is a good one, too. But 1611 is written for English-speaking people. It's a Bible I use. Well, I can't understand it. Well, I'll buy you an 1828 Webster Dictionary like I have, and you can order them through our ministry, or I can get you a Strong's Concordance. You can understand it as well as I can. You may have to study. See, the Bible says study to show thyself approved. That doesn't say read to show thyself approved. Study to show thyself approved. You got to study the Word of God. You don't get the knowledge of the Word of God by just reading it. It doesn't work that way. You got to study it. It's much deeper than you and I can ever understand, Jerry. But studying it is a glory to God and a blessing to us if we take time to do it. Is it not?
It is, sure enough. You know, I compare a lot of, you know, because Tex preached and he spoke for many years, and he was just, I'm going to say it, he was smacked upside the head with God's word. When he came upon the discovery, and it, everybody gets there, if they're studying the word, everybody will get there. But when he read in Galatians 3, that if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. It didn't say anything about bloodline, DNA, none of that had anything to do with it. And same thing happened to Chuck Baldwin. For years and years and years, he was part and parcel with that Schofield doctrine that if you bless the Jews, you'll be blessed, and if you curse the Jews, you'll be cursed. But it took time, and then when Tex came to the realization that if you are blood bought, then you are Abraham's seed. End of chat. End of chat. That's it. And, you know, Tex would talk about it week after week, and people would call and say, when is Tex going to get off banging on the Jews? Well, Tex is not banging on the Jews. He's trying to teach you the truth about what's in God's word. It's up to you to study it. You know, the old saying, you can lead a horse to water. That's you and that Bible. And if you don't take the time or have the gumption to study it, that's your loss.
That's very true. But I will warn people in advance, if you start studying the word of God, it's going to make you stand out in the crowd, and you're going to feel like a June bug in a chicken coop. They're going to be coming after you. That's the way it is. But, you know, I just hit this on a program months ago, and I said, I'm going to teach this one more time, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm settled. I'm not going to bring it up again unless the Lord says to. I've said enough of this. But we're told in Revelations 2, chapter 2 and chapter 3, and both of them, verse 9, that those that call themselves Jews and are not Jews. That's one thing we got to understand. Most of the ones who call themselves Jews are not Jews. They're the synagogue Satan. They're not Jews in the first place. And Jews are just one tribe out of 12. Why do they get all the praise and all the protection if they're really Jews? But most of them are not even Jews. They're the synagogue of Satan. So it's time to realize that these people that call themselves Jews in Israel, most of them are not truly Jews anyway. You know, brother, a real Jew, will at least obey the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. But most of them follow the Talmud, which was what the Pharisees wrote when they were captivity in Babylon. They're not true Jews. They say they are, but as Christ said they're the synagogue of Satan. Don't trust them. I mean, this isn't complicated. Why do people complicate this?
And starts in the pulpit, in the pastorate. Because they are not teaching. All they're teaching is Genesis about Abraham being blessed.
That's it. Well, hey, Abraham's seed was also Ishmael. Their people. They were not a seed of promise, but they're his seed. So, and they're Semites. The ones that call themselves Jews today are not even Semites. They're not Semites. They're fakes.
Yeah.
They're fakes. Get over this, folks. I know this is harsh. And listen, Schofield was a fraud. Now, I can prove this. I wouldn't say it. Schofield was a womanizer, a fraud, a plagiarizer, a con man. But he was used by the false Jews to write the book they call the Schofield Bible. It brought in dispensationalism and all kinds of things that I used to believe and teach to start reading the Bible. You know, Brother Jerry, I got along with about the churches I was in for a long time because I didn't read the Bible my own. When I started reading the Bible alone, asking questions from the teachers, I got in trouble. I did. Next thing I knew, they didn't like me being around too much. I was doing asking questions. I wasn't trying to pick a fight. Just tell me what this means. And they didn't like me asking those questions. So this is what got me in trouble. That's why I don't get called to preaching anywhere. That's why I'm having a hard time raising money on the radio. I'm not going to play the games. Israel today, and this nation Israel, which, by the way, is there to fulfill prophecy for sure. It wouldn't be there. But it is not the Israel of the Bible. It is not.
I don't know about you, brother, but I'm waiting for the new Jerusalem to come down from heaven.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That old one is done. It's over. Forget it. Stick a fork in it.
Stick a fork in it. Well, speaking of sticking a fork in it, brother, we have flown through 30 minutes. We're going to have to take a brief pause. My guest today is my buddy from West Virginia, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to take a brief pause, and when we come back, we're going to dive right back in. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. want to tell you about an outstanding three-book set written by Pastor Butch Paul entitled Wisdom and Instruction from God's Word. Pastor Butch brings forth clearly explained and understood principles of Christian living, especially for the days we live in now. Some of the topics discussed are Give Me Liberty and My Entitlements, Vile Adults Pervert the Children. At least 95% of the people who claim Christianity today have no clue what a Christian worldview is or should be. A brief look on how our society and those who think they are following God's word reveals how far we've fallen. Most who think they're following God's laws fall into the moderate category on politics. Many now believe it is okay to live in a culture of compromise with no righteous retribution for ignoring his laws. By these actions, we are damning many into believing they are in good standing with his judgment. It is up to the true Christians to lead by example and expose the lukewarm apostasy that abounds. Heartfelt repentance must start with God's redeemed. We're only asking $45 for this outstanding three-book set. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $51. You can order by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. You'll see an ad for this three-book set right there on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method. Hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. If you want to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. $51 postpaid for wisdom and instruction from God's Word. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pastor Butch Paul. Pastor Butch, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Before we get back into it, I want y'all to go to PastorButch.com, and if you can spare some change, send some to Pastor Butch, help his ministry. You know, these are vital ministries that we need to support. And that's not why I had Pastor Butch come on, but hearing that his ministry is low on funds, that should be a call to arms to Christians out there. If you've got an extra 5 or a 10, you know, send it over to West Virginia. Help my brother out, because if we don't stick together, we're running out of people that'll actually tell the truth, aren't we?
Oh, we are. They're getting very rare, very rare.
If you're enjoying this program and it's tickling your ears, then we're preaching to the choir, but I'm praying that you will get a copy of this program. And if you want to, I tell everybody, Butch, that we have a copyright on our program, on our books, everything. But on the CD or the cassette tape, if you get that, the copyright means I want you to copy it right and pass them out for free. You can't sell them. I don't want you selling them. But if you want to make 10 copies of this CD and give them out to people and it wakes one up, we won. We have won. So please, you know, I love the support that our ministry gets. You know, Tex cultivated a great group of people to listen and support this ministry and pray over this ministry, because we've got demons at the door every day. But the tremendous support that we've gotten in the 20-plus years that I've been associated with this ministry, and now being behind the mic and being the pastor, it is such a blessing, Butch, to have this much support. And, you know, we're not going out and buying condos and in Miami and jet setting across the world, but we're paying the bills and we got everything's paid. We don't owe a person a dime.
Yes, yes.
And that is such a blessing. And, you know, I've gotten the soundboard that I'm using here in my home office was donated by a tremendous Christian couple. And Cliff and Donna, thank you so much again for your continued prayers, your continued support. They're just dynamite people. And so.
And I better know who you're talking about too. They're from Indiana.
Yes, sir, they are. They're.
They haven't talked to me for years. I must made them mad. He's talked to me all the time. They ain't called for years. So if they're listening to that Cliff and Donna, shame on you. Anyway, go ahead.
They are just tremendous people. I love talking to Cliff, and he's one of the few people that actually has my cell phone, and it's not because of his generous donation of the soundboard, but I had to ask him a question. So I called him with my cell phone, and he's got it, and he's got my number. Anytime he texts me here and there, he'll call me here and there, and I love it because they are such solid Christian people that are going around and trying to wake others up.
Yep.
And this country needs
it. I miss talking to him. He come and got me, flew me out there to do his son's wedding many years ago, and it was a great time. And I miss Cliff and Don. I haven't talked to him for a long time. I really miss them.
Maybe we'll get them on your radio show next Monday, and they'll give you a call.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I really miss them. They were good friends, and we broke bread together and spent a lot of time together at one time. Anyway.
All right.
Well, either way you want to go. We'll go back to what we were talking about if you want to.
Yes, sir. You know, we were talking off air. Chuck Baldwin hosted a tour, and this was what he said to my listeners a few weeks ago. He was hosting a tour. He was given the tour of Israel, and he decided he had some downtime. He was going to go walk around Jerusalem, and he said people saw him, and they knew that he was a Christian, and they started spitting on him and kicking him. And That is of their father, the devil.
That's true.
And they follow this traditions of men called the Babylonian town. And the hubris is so high with the rabbis, and Jesus said, call no man rabbi, but they call themselves rabbi. They claim in the Talmud that if God has a conundrum, he will get advice from a rabbi.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Yeah, them and the Pope have the same feelings. They're greater than God. Yeah, I agree. You know, it's amazing that if you follow the Scofield Bible, all those that supported Jerusalem and the Jews are supposed to be blessed, you know, and really grow and prosper. Well, we started backing these so-called Jews in 1948. That's the year I was born. Has their nation grown in prosperity, morality, and wealth? I don't think so. We're now ordaining sodomites. We have transgenders that are teaching children in public schools. We have pedophilia on the verge of being legalized. We're the most in debt nation in the world, something like $34 trillion in debt. We were the leading debt nation in the country. In 1948, we loaned to people. We didn't borrow. Now we are in debt more than any nation in the world. So is it blessed us to back this new so-called nation of Israel, or has it cursed us? Folks, think about that. If the promises that you were told, your pastor said, well, you bless Israel and you pray for Jerusalem, you have all the blessings that can be given to you. I ask you this. Is your child today being taught in the public school system how to be a godly individual? Are you blessed to have those kind of people in charge of teaching you in the public schools? And are you seeing good entertainment on TV where they're teaching godly morals? Are you seeing filth and perversion since you started back in Israel? Think about these things. Folks, we got to get our heads out of our rear end and smell some fresh air once in a while.
Amen.
It's just absolutely absurd that we will believe since 1948 we turned to a nation, a godlier nation, because we supported Israel. That's absurd. Get over that.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Before I start getting carried away here.
Well, you threw out the Pope a minute ago because he is God on earth, right? And
well, he's God on earth, you know. You know, I mean, that's what he thinks. I mean, they literally say that. They literally said that he is God on earth. He's a vicar of Christ. Yep. He's God on earth.
And he's come out and he said that homosexuals can have a union. They just can't get married. Well, he's supporting sodomites.
Yes. Yeah. And the priests have to bless them.
How is that biblical?
Well, what's biblical anymore? It's whatever you want to be.
Depends
you
on.
Know, it, Now, that's why you asked about the question, can America be redeemed? No, America, a nation, cannot be redeemed. Individuals can be redeemed. Praise God for that. And there'll be places where we can actually, if we stand together, sow down evil for the glory of God, and he'll bless us with that. But America cannot be redeemed. We've sinned beyond redemption. One of the books I've written, the first volume of the book I wrote, it explains the Word of God. And the first chapter in the book is to sin beyond redemption. Yes, you can sin beyond redemption. That's Bible for individuals and nations. But the point of it is, when a nation crosses the line, a nation has to answer in this present time. We'll answer in eternity. But a nation will not be judged in eternity. A nation is judged in the time it exists. And America is being judged right now. Would you say, Brother Jerry, that we are being blessed today with what we see happening in politics and the public arena? Are we being blessed or being cursed? What would be your answer in that?
My answer was 100%. We're being cursed. We have used common vernacular. We have kicked God to the curb.
We have. But since how we backed Israel, how come we're not being blessed? If what Scofield said and what most churches believe, why are we not being blessed? Why are not our children growing up being godly men and women and teaching our grandchildren to be godly men and women? Why all of a sudden is all this perversion so permeated through society and the church is tolerated? Why is that so if blessed Israel is the answer?
Jesus had the perfect answer. Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil.
That's exactly right.
And that's what we've been following since 1948, sadly. You know, if they would come to, and I know that there are Jewish people who have come to know Jesus. God bless them.
Absolutely. Real Jews. Yes, absolutely.
And those are the people that we should celebrate. Not those that are stuck in the Babylonian Talmud that think that they are smarter than God, that they can cheat anybody they want to, that they can steal.
Especially the Goyim, that's us, the cattle. I mean, they can cheat us and it's not a sin to them.
Not a whit. And so they go into business with you. I don't remember what holiday they have, but they pray for atonement and they can wipe any debt they have with somebody that's a Goyim. And they're guilt free. That's inhumane and that's ungodly and that's of the devil. Thou shalt not steal. That's what they're doing. They're stealing.
That's right. That's just immoral. But over probably 2/3 of our Congress are dual citizens with Israel and America. That should be unconstitutional, illegal.
Exactly.
That's what we face today. But you see, the church in America, they don't want to see that. And I don't know that. It's sad to say this, and believe me, folks, I'm talking to you from experience. When it comes to intelligence, I'm probably about as intelligent as a burnout light bulb. It's about as bright as one anyway. But so I have to learn things the hard way. I got to study, and I got to learn from experiences, and I'm not the fastest learner in the world. But once I start realizing who I am in Christ, and the promise he offered me in Colossians chapter 1 is a beautiful chapter. It's really sometime, but where we're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That is such a beautiful comment. He's taking us, now yes, folks, you're in the kingdom. Everyone is in the kingdom. No, there's no such thing as a non-religious person. Everyone is religious. Either you might be humanist, but that means that you worship yourself, so you're religious. You might say, well, I'm neither, I'm neutral. No, you're not. No, you're not. If you're neutral, then you're your own God. You make your own rules. If you don't believe God's word is final and his commandments are solid and unchangeable, then you make up your own. So you practice a religion of humanism. Or you may be someone that says, well, I just don't believe either way. Again, that's the same thing. You're practicing your own religion. Jerry, I don't want people to understand this. There's no such thing as a non-biased person. There's no such thing as a non-biased individual. We all make decisions on what we believe to be truth. So, Jerry, it's impossible for me to make a decision without the influence of what I believe is the Word of God in my life. I can't make a decision, an honest decision, but what I truly believe and live if I don't follow what my convictions are in the Word of God. And the same thing goes for those that are Satanist or humanist, that they're biased towards Christian because they don't believe the laws of God are valid. So there's no such thing as a non-biased Supreme Court.
Mm.
You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
It's impossible. Everyone's religious. I don't care if you live in the deepest, darkest jungle in Africa. You have a religion. It may, who knows what religion it is, but you got a faith system, you got a belief system that you live your life by. That's what religion is. Now, Christianity is entirely different. Christianity is a walk of faith in a God, a righteous God, and trying to live as he wants you to live on this earth. And when he translates you into his kingdom, the kingdom of his son, out of the kingdom of darkness, you're a changed individual. You're a new creature. If you're not, then you're not saved. You're not born again. And well, I'm saved by faith, not by works. Well, according to the Bible, I believe you read it. If you read it for yourself, you'll find out that the Bible says you're saved by grace through faith. We know that. The next verse says that you are ordained then to walk in good works. James said faith without works is dead. Without works, you're not walking in faith. This is not complicated. Listen, if I can figure this out, anyone can figure it out. The Bible says that I was born again, I was saved and ordained to walk in good works. How much simpler is that? How much easier can it be than that?
That's pretty simple.
I mean, actually, I just read to you in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift to God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So you're not saved by works, but works bring forth salvation. That's just that easy. I mean, I'm barely made through high school. I mean, and I do speak English a little bit. And I'm not I'm a hillbilly, so I don't expect a lot of profound language in my mouth. I don't know all the big words. But I'm just saying that works are essential, not for salvation, but for proof of your salvation.
Amen. You know, we're told that his yoke is light. So what does it take to have good works, brother? To live as Christ would have you live and then go out and spread his message.
That's it. It's not complicated at all.
And it's not backbreaking work.
No, it's not. It isn't. As a matter of fact, most of them it's a joy. It truly is. But yeah, we are absolutely, it is not a chore to serve Christ. There are times you run into confrontations and you know something, Jerry, I don't like confrontations. I don't like having to stand up and confront anybody. But in order to stand for something, you have to stand against something. And you're going to collide once in a while. Somebody who does not believe that what you believe in the way of conviction of the Word of God, they're going to think you're crazy. They're going to confront you. So if you stand your ground, you're going to have some confrontation from time to time, aren't you?
Every time.
So either we walk in Christ or we walk in the world. It's our choice. In one of the books I've written, I made a statement. It's impossible. I repeat that. It is impossible for a righteous man or righteous individual to peaceably coexist with evil. You may coexist, but you won't be at peace.
Amen. We're called to reprove it.
That's right. Rebuke.
So, but getting back to his yoke being light, a lot of people say, well, I'm not good talking to people and I don't think well on my feet. That's okay. The words will come. I don't have a script. Pastor Butch, do you have a script when you get on your radio show?
Just the Bible.
I have some ideas that I want to cover.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's it. Everything that I speak, God puts in my head and it comes out of my, well, God talks for me because I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I'm still a freshman in college and I messed around when I was young, but you said you're a hillbilly and you barely got through high school, but you can read God's word. And I know by a book that we have called The Language of the King James Bible, they gave inmates, prison inmates that had no education. They gave them a King James Bible. By the time they finished that King James Bible, their vocabulary was so improved. They were college level readers by the time they finished the King James Bible.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it wasn't because they got smart all of a sudden, but who's the greatest teacher? The Holy Spirit. When you welcome the Holy Spirit in, you've got the greatest teacher ever. All you have to do is study.
Pretty true.
All you got to do is study. It's not rocket science. It's just studying his word. And then you take what you learn in his word and you go out and even if you're not a great orator, You can, how many people, Pastor Butch, that you know who have been saved don't want to go out and talk to people about how great it was the day they got saved?
No, that's who you are then. That's what you are.
It's a proud moment and something that you should be proud of, cherish, and it should fire you up, and you should be on fire for the Lord and get out there and you learn something. Next thing you want to do is you want to share it. And that's the works that we're talking about. It's not going out and hauling 3 cords of wood just so you can make a few dollars to pay your mortgage or whatever. It's that's hard labor, but the yoke is light when you are working for Christ.
Well, it is absolutely, well, you know, we're told in the Word of God that people say, well, you have wisdom. Well, if I do, it's Christ. But he said, if you want wisdom, ask me. I'll give you all you want. Just ask, and I'll give it to you. But you don't get the wisdom of God by looking in the world. You got to get into God's Word. And this book, by the way, Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And he's called the Word in John chapter 1. He's, I'm the Word. So you get into the Scriptures, you're studying Christ. You're studying His will for you. If we can only understand that, then we could really blossom and glorify our Father among the world. He said, I'll give you all the wisdom you want. Just ask me for it. And study to show thyself approved. That's what it boils down to, brother. It is not complicated. It isn't always easy because my brain gets tired. Studying the Bible says studying this is a worry to your mind. It does make you tired. But that's how you grow in Christ. So anything in us that you folks may see that we think, gee, you really got together. Well, only through Christ have we got together, because we desire to have it that way.
Amen. Nothing comes easy.
No, nothing value does.
Amen.
That's walking in Christ is a beautiful, beautiful experience, and you'll be blessed. Not necessarily, you and I may not become rich financially, but you'll be blessed unbelievably when you turn your life over to Christ.
Amen. You know, I don't want for anything walking in this journey. All I'm looking forward to the streets that are paved in gold, that the mansion that He has prepared for me. And if I got a corner, I'm fine with that. I'll be content in all my ways.
Amen.
I don't need, you know, my wife and I, we've got a nice home. We've got 5 acres and it's beautiful. And we got old cars that we drive that run, get us from point A to point B. And we are content. We are blessed. But we're blessed because we walk in Him.
Amen.
Like I said, it's not rocket science. You just get into His Word and you read. And you were talking a minute ago, and the phrase that popped in my head was, judge not lest you be judged. Everybody goes to that just one little snippet.
Oh, yeah.
But, okay, judge not lest you be judged. Okay. But you use judgment every day. Do I need to pull out? Can I pull out in front of this car, or will I have a wreck? Or is this business trying to cheat me? You don't know whether they're Christian or not, but there are some nefarious individuals out there that you go, am I being scammed? Are they going to steal from me? Are they evil? That's a judgment that you're making. But, you know, the people that just want to have their ears tickled and say, oh, judge not lest you be judged. You're using judgment every day.
Well, they need to read the rest of that verse. It more or less says, judge not, lest you be judged by the same standard. Judge me by the standard of the Word of God. Please, if I'm doing something wrong, I want to know it. But in the same chapter, Christ said, you know them by their fruits. Yeah. So he's saying, judge them by their fruits. Folks, don't give me that word, judge not, lest you be judged. That you're a hypocrite. You ain't read the rest of it.
And that's what stands out. Because
that's exactly right. I mean, that's an easy way to try to get out of being corrected in what you're doing wrong. You know, so don't use that on me. Because as a brother said, you judge every day. I mean, I know it's an apple tree because it's got apples on it. I know it's a pear tree because it has pears on it. And I know whether a man's good or evil by his fruits. By their fruits ye shall know them. Easy. ye shall know them. You know, they may look good, smell good, and they may call themselves an apple tree. And they may look so much, you know, they may be beautiful green and bushy, but you'll know a little bit where the apple tree's not, because if they're not bearing apples, they're not apple trees. The same thing, somebody said, well, I'm a Christian. They're wearing three-piece suits, smell good, they talk smooth. Watch the fruit.
Amen.
Look for the fruit. When the fruit's there, you'll know for sure what they are. I had not a thing wrong with a godly man prospering. Not a thing went wrong with it. When they fleece the flock and do it, I have a lot to say about that.
Oh, that's
And cool. I want to say plain up and down. There's a bunch of them out there today that are fleecing the flock. They do it continually. There's one on TV I can't stand to watch. It's called Camp Meeting. Every sermon preaches about name and claim it. It's all about that. They look good. They smell good. They speak really smooth. They make me feel like a kindergartner in college when it comes to speaking. But it's just absolutely perverted to the core. It's all about money, wealth, and material possessions. And if you can't see that in Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn and Duplantis and all of them, then you're not looking.
Amen.
You're not looking.
Amen.
You know, I don't. If these men are godly men, I don't know of any really godly men who are multi millionaires. I mean, they eat well. They have a nice home. All that's wonderful. But I don't know too many of them that have three or four planes and 10, 12 different homes cross country. Not any of them, because if they had that kind of money coming in, they put it back into the ministry.
Amen. Instead of
see that's a big clue right there. I had if a man travels a lot, hey, if he has the funds to buy an airplane, more power to him. But he doesn't need four of them.
Amen.
And he doesn't need 10 homes cross country. Somebody's got to maintain those. Somebody's got to pay to maintain those. If that kind of man's coming in, let him stay in a motel where they're traveling. These are things that I think people need to stop and look at, brother. I have nothing. If I were blessed and traveled a lot and had the funds, I'd have a small airplane to travel in. That'd be much, much easier. That's just time consuming. But I don't need to buy a home on the West Coast and one on the South Coast, one north part of the country, just so I can get back and forth to have a place to stay. Buying a motel room is a whole lot cheaper than paying payments on a house, is it not?
Amen to that.
So people, let's get over this stuff and what name and claim your prosperity nonsense. You're being ripped off. And I'll tell you this, you're accountable for who you send your money to. You are accountable for where you send your money. If you're supporting evil work, you're part of that work.
Ye shall know them by their fruits. And
amen.
That work right there is not worth a dime. And it's evil. And it's serving Satan. Honestly, you don't want to do that. You know, I've told people this for a long time. The scariest phrase in the Bible is, depart from me, I knew you not. Don't want to hear it.
The same chapter about judge not lest you be judged, and Christ say no by the fruit. The same chapter 7 Matthew, and when he come to him said, but Lord, we did works in your name. We healed the sick, we raised the dead, we fed the poor. I didn't know you. That's scary.
That's scary. I just want to go out there and get as many people to know the true Christ, not that million-dollar fraud. Let's get people on the narrow path and not that wide one. Well, brother,
amen.
We have flown through an hour. Thank you for coming on and being a guest of Power Prophecy. I love chatting with you. It's always uplifting and it does make me smile. So I appreciate you, brother.
Well, I appreciate you. And you folks take care, and God bless y'all, and pray for one another. Let's stay in the battle together. Stay on the front lines. Keep firing. The best thing about being surrounded, Brother Jerry, you shoot in any direction, you got to hit something.
Amen.
There you go.
You take care, brother. I will talk
to
you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, that's going to take care of this week's program. My guest today has been Pastor Butch Paul. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.